Your majesty. wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. Father, holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth.
Time for scripture reading. Eric Booksman, if you don't want to come up. And you can turn to Psalm 107.
Stand with us again. Sing the chorus after the second verse and after the fourth verse.
Display.
Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died, to take away my sin. Sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Shouts of acclamation and take me home. God's joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow with humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Thanks. You may be seated. And thanks to all of those who remembered what I said. My memory is good, but it's really short.
It sure is good to hear feedback singing when we're up here instead of recording. All right. Before Nat comes up, I'll just ask Mike to come up and share with you. Hopefully you've all had a good week. It's been beautiful weather, of course. We're not really here to talk about the weather. With every week, there is good things happening, challenging things that happen. And this week, without exception, there's celebrations. Yesterday, we were up at Buster Beach and celebrating with Bill and Lynn and Ed Morgan and Heinrich and Lydia, as their daughters graduated, and it was really a very great time to rejoice and just to remember the kindness of the Lord and the blessings of being family. But also during the week, there were
other challenges. And the young man that I had met just over 30 years ago passed away at age 49. Very complicated life. He was working with my son Josh, and anyway, he wasn't feeling well. He didn't actually make it in the whole time. It was a young man that, between Barry Henson, Ron Henson, Josh, myself, and others, shared the gospel with Bill Stone. And I don't know if they ever came to know the Lord and understand the grace of God. But there was in the midst of, earlier in the week, trying to find rest and to be told those kinds of things and reminded of the brevity of life. When I met Dave, he was basically an 18-year-old man who wanted to be in logging. And he loved to do things fast. Consequently, he got married and life got complicated. Broken life, broken marriage. So that was the weeping side. The rejoicing side, and of course, was to hear and see these young people come to understand the grace of God and the love of God. But isn't it true that all of us experience a little bit of, let's say, just ironic feelings? There's this joy on the one hand and this weeping on the other. Well, just before the service, Jean-Paul came to me, and we had met on Friday afternoon and just to get updated on his son, Thomas, and we had been praying for Thomas. Thomas had surgery last week and was released from the hospital. They had removed a number of tumors off his liver, and consequently, he was looking forward to being home, but there was some bleeding going on, and then apparently we admitted yesterday there's been more complications, and so I'll share that in an email, as Jean-Paul has asked me to do that. And so as you're not unlike me, you're probably all having some measure of this reality to our own mortality. This realization that we still live in a world that's filled with a lot of challenges, and apart from the grace of God, the love of God, we can't really overcome it. We just want to do that as best we can. Corey was telling me before the service and some challenges about a young gal, 14 years old, that's going to be adopted by a sister. And I don't know if you want me to share that publicly or not, I'm sorry. And just the complication, how this young lady who came out of Liberia is in a family where she's not loved anymore, where she needs to be. And so, of course, sister is going the extra mile. And with already the Samson that came out of Liberia, and brokenness at that moment I came out. And then just these kinds of things, they overwhelm us, don't they? And so, not unlike Dave and me, we're all sort of working along with the brokenness of our life. You know the brokenness in your life and the things that we're around. And so let's bow. And just said a little prayer when the last night to come up and share the word with us. And, you know, I want you to rejoice. If you want to rejoice and praise the Lord, that's great. I'm not here to rain on your parade. On the other hand, if you are moments of some measure of grief and overwhelmed by what's going on around you, then just bow your head and get over and feel great and just check the chair to right here and let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for what we've already read here this morning and saying that we've been doing and just reflecting upon how great you are. We do confess you're the only one who can quench the thirst of each life. You're the only one who can satisfy us and bring us joy. vitality and help us to see our purpose for living. Lord, you also know that we are enmeshed in all kinds of different relationships, people we have known for years and who have certainly been taken from us. And so I do pray for Dave and his family. I have not met them all. I'm so grateful. I just pray that you would comfort each one and that they would draw near to them. I pray also, Lord, for Jean-Claude here this morning, and I do pray that you would take a hand and help him to realize, Lord, that your hand of mercy is on Thomas's life, and that Thomas would also cry out to you and seek you, and you would give Jean-Claude the words to express to his son in light of the truth that Jean-Claude has come to understand in the light of his grace. We also, Lord, want to rejoice, and we do rejoice with Billy Newton and Frank and Lillian and Luke and Lillian and graduation from their daughters. And Father, we see the promise of life and we see it being fulfilled in the lives of these young guys who love you and want to serve you. And so, Lord, as we listen to your word this morning, even as we were reading Psalm 107, which causes us to reflect, it is natural to show the Lord and to speak to each of our hearts. May we appreciate all that you're doing in each of our lives, and even in the things that are so difficult and so hard for us to accept. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to pray to you, and help us to become the people you want us to be, and to allow you, as you permit various trials, various challenges, and to cause us to just draw near to you. So thank you for the worship team this morning. Thank you for each aspect of service, and just pray for that as you want to serve God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Thank you, Dan. Psalm 107. This morning's message is, I named it, Regaining Perspective, to think upon the Lord. And I was just thinking, over the past number of months, we've been faced with, I guess you could say, unprecedented in our lifetime, the things that we're dealing with as a country, as a world, and who knows what unprecedented means. I had to look it up, but it means something that you've never seen or done before, and when you think about it, we can all think of some things that are like that, but probably not too many that we've experienced in our lifetime, and there's things that are positive that are unprecedented. You can think of man going to the moon, or the first time somebody flew a plane over the Atlantic Ocean, or when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That was unprecedented. But we're living in unprecedented times, and when we're living in unprecedented times like we are now, it brings with it some uncertainty. Uncertainty about our health, about our employment, about our freedoms. And that uncertainty can cause us anxiety, right? Causes us turmoil inside, and just an unsteady feeling, you know? I don't know if any of you have felt that, but I can attest that. I think in the past little while, it's felt like, what's going on? What's coming up? Where are we going from here? I think as a father, I want to be able to be steady, and I want to be able to be confident and know that I can provide for my family, and I don't have to be concerned for their freedom or their well-being. And I think that's natural. I think a lot of us, we want to be certain, we want to be confident in knowing what's coming up, what's coming down the pipe next. But there's also a sense of pride that we have in our lives that we want to be in control. We want to be self-sufficient. We don't want to rely on other people for our freedom or for our work. We want to be able to be proud of what we've done, and we want to be able to say that we made our way. And I think that's the American, Canadian, North American way of life, and I think much of the world is seeking to live that way. To be able to elevate ourselves, to make plans, to achieve. We want to have control. We want to be able to do what we want, and we want to be able to do it on our timeline. And that's not for everybody. Some people are happy, content to work, but yet they still want to have a sense of certainty, right? They still want to be able to know and be certain in what's coming up. I'm going to read a little excerpt from this book by G.K. Chesterton, and just kind of an observation that he has on this guy, maybe early 1900s. He has an excerpt here. Excerpt here, an observation he makes of American culture. He says, he's preaching one time there in Pittsburgh, and he says, people are too eager to build up. They spend their energy in building up something that will be taken down in a few years. It's grown to be almost a religion with the people here. It's a very subtle thing. I don't know where it came from. It's the outgrowth of history, of the exhilarating climate and the pioneer spirit, I suppose. The Puritans came here full of ideals of religion, as if a new light shone. That passionate energy for religion with which they came to this country passed away, and the people have thrown their tremendous energy into business. It's the worship of activity for its own sake. They worship it without an objective. In England, the rich classes that worship laziness are as bad. Neither is sound, it is a false religion. And I think that sums up a lot of what we do. We chase, we chase, we chase, and we are distracted, and we're always looking at the next thing. And then when this times like these come and we're faced with uncertainty, we kind of have our lives thrown into, our plans are thrown into confusion, and we're questioning things, and that's good. That's good. We're questioning, what are we going to do next? It makes us think about who's in control. We realize that we aren't in control. Causes us uncertainty and anxiety. The thing is, when we face this uncertainty and anxiety, a lot of us look for distraction from different things, right? We don't go to the Lord. We look for distraction in things and pastimes to distract us from the problems that we're facing. I remember my dad used to say if he hurt something, he would, you had a sore finger or whatever, he's like, well, let me pull your ear, and then you won't feel your finger. I think that's that's often what we do with the with our problems, right? We find another thing, and sometimes it's just as problematic, or can become just as problematic, to distract us from the real problems that we're facing. And today we want to look at how we need to maybe change our perspective and how we look at life and see that we're not in control and we are not our own. We can't play God. We can't pretend that we are in control of our lives and our destiny. And I wanted to look at a passage in Psalm 8. But when we look at where our circumstances now and we think about perspective, I want to talk about changing our perspective to the right perspective. So oftentimes, when we think about perspective, and people will say, well, maybe you just need to change your perspective on things. Or there's lots of different perspectives that we can have, right? And we can always look at our circumstances and we can think, wow, we don't have it nearly as bad as the people down in Haiti. Or we don't have it as bad as people in Congo. Or maybe in the Middle East. That's not the point of what I'm trying to get here. It's not about comparing ourselves and making ourselves feel better, because that doesn't get at the root of the uncertainty and the anxiety that we're facing. That anxiety and stress that we're facing is because we are recognizing that we're not in control in our lives. And I think that's something that we as North Americans are not used to. We live our lives in self-sufficiency and in independence. And when people tell us that we can't do something, it kind of rubs us the wrong way, because we thought we were free. But in other parts of the world, that is normal. But that's not what I'm talking about today. Well, perspective isn't about pretending that we don't have it as bad as other people. It's about recognizing the problem is not our circumstance or just the way we think about our circumstance. The problem is that we need to recognize that God is in control. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 8. Says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord. Les was talking in adult ABF, and he talked about how it's different for us now. We don't really have kings or lords. But when we say, O Lord, our Lord, it's not just a name, it's humbling ourselves and recognizing that God is the Lord that we bow our knee to, and He is above us, demands our honor, our reverence. We don't look at things that way. When we talk about our boss at work, we don't always view him as being somebody that we revere. We just, well, he's the boss. I just got to make sure I do what he says, and he writes a check at the end of every 2 weeks, and that's it. No, it's this idea that, oh Lord, our Lord, we need to think about that. Who is the Lord? How excellent is your name in all the earth. We think about all the amazing things that are in our world, all the beauty that we can see. You know, we've been enjoying the nice weather. The evenings are beautiful. We're enjoying the sunsets. And we think about all the places that we've been or you've traveled to or the pictures we've seen. And we think of how beautiful the world is. And we think we should be thinking about how that's just a little glimpse of God's glory. And He is way above that. He is more excellent than that. It says, "Who have set your glory above the heavens." Heavens is the universe. The universe is huge. We can't even fathom the size of the universe. I was reading a quote. It said, if our earth was to dissolve, it would be like as if one leaf falling off a tree in the middle of a forest, if this earth would pass away. And you think about that, it's like, wow, that's how big the universe is. The universe, here's another quote. "There's much scenery," Dr. Chalmers, this is out of Spurgeon, his commentary on this passage here. He says, "There is much scenery in the night, scenery of a night sky, to lift the soul to humble contemplation. The moon and the stars, what are they? They are detached from the world, and they lift us above it. We feel withdrawn from the earth, and rise in lofty abstraction from this little theater of human passions and human anxieties. The mind abandons itself to awe and is transferred into the ecstasy of its thought to distant and unexplored regions. It sees nature in the simplicity of her great elements, and it sees the God of nature invested with the high attributes of wisdom and majesty. We see his design and creation around us." Psalm 8 starts with this, praising God for who he is. In verse 4 he says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" David was the king of Israel. This was written by David, and he was recognizing his place and how God had set him in as the king of Israel, the God's holy people, the one who would, the generation that would always be. He made a covenant with David. He would always have someone on his throne. Jesus was the fulfillment of that. But yeah, in the light of the universe, what is man that you are mindful of him? So when we talk about our perspective, we need to be looking at who are we in light of who God is? And that God cares about us, his creation, even though we are just a speck in it. Let's turn over to Psalm 107. And God had a special relationship with Israel. And this passage is pretty neat in how it talks about how the Lord was faithful. He loved them loyally, even though they often were turning away and they often were lost. And it made me think of how I've been feeling kind of a little bit lately, just how it's just, man, what the uncertainty, life is uncertain. I'm not in control. It says here, Psalm 107, verse 4, it says, "They wandered away in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." So in verse 5 and 6, it talks about those that are wandering. Verse 14, and how God took them, brought them out of their wandering and brought them to a city that would be a dwelling place for them. And then in verse 14, he's talking about the prisoner who's in darkness. And it says, "He brought them out of darkness in the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces." And then in 19, it was the prisoner, the fool, the sinner. And then the person that was in the storm, and in verse verse 24 and verse 27 there, and how they were at their wits' end in the storm. And then it talks about the farmer and how the Lord causes things to grow. And the oppressed, the poor. In 41. So how the Lord looks after people, regardless of, in spite of who they are or what they're doing. The thing that we notice here is that people cry out to the Lord when they are in these places. It says there in verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And then in verse 13, the prisoner, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then the sinner, the fool who was living an immoral life, and they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then the person who's in the storm, then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. And then they are glad and they are quiet. So we see that God's mercy is on those who call out on him. This isn't just for Israel. This is a principle that we can apply in our lives as well. God is merciful. His love is undeserved, but he's merciful. Do we cry out to the Lord when we are in need of him? We come to that point where we recognize our need of him, recognize that we are not in control and that we need him. Are we lost, wandering? Are you a prisoner? Are you stuck in an immoral life? Maybe you feel that you're in the middle of a storm. You need to cry out to the Lord. Another thing I noticed in this passage is when these people were saved, what do they do? It says, the psalm writer says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So when we are saved, we should give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, we were out camping last weekend with some friends at Lake Minnewasta, and we went out in a kayak in the evening there on the lake, and it was calm. It was just perfect. I mean, it was a calm day in Manitoba. There's no wind. It's pretty hard. Not very often. So we were really enjoying it. It was a beautiful day, and you know, we're just thankful for the peace, just the quiet, you know. The song that worship team sung there, Word of God Speak, and talks about the noise, right? And sometimes our lives are just full of noise. And so it was good to be there and enjoying that evening and just enjoying God's creation and enjoying what he made, not what I made. Focusing on who he was, just in that moment. Giving thanks to the Lord. Another example was we were at the celebration yesterday with the Olszewskis and the Dirksons and the Vargans, and just seeing how they were celebrating their daughters and, you know, the achievements of their daughters in their graduation, and yet celebrating their achievement, but also recognizing that it's God's grace that is sufficient, and the one who gives to us, loves us, saves us. So when we think about perspective, we need to think about who God is. We need to think about crying out to the Lord when we're in that situation where we don't know what to do. We need to give thanks to the Lord for His provision, for His rescue. And then it says in 107 there, what else are we to do? Lost my place. Let them exalt him also, let them exalt him, the Lord, also in the assembly, this is verse 32, sorry. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. We're not supposed to keep this to ourselves. We are supposed to share this with people. Who is our hope in? Who has saved us? We need to give the Lord the praise, the honor. So shifting our focus from this idea that we are self-sustaining. And I know that's is a message that we all need to hear. I don't think there's anybody here that from day to day doesn't think that we're pretty cool, pretty good on our own. You know? Eric looks a bit laughing back there. But you know, it's true. We take pride in the things that we do and our accomplishments, and we need to think about where our lives come from, the things that we have. Shifting our perspective to that. So we think we are self-sustaining. We will be uncertain. We'll feel that stress, right? When we put our trust in the Lord and recognize that He holds all things. He's in control. And that He loves us. More than we love ourselves, more than we know, He loves us. He wants what's best for us. It says there in verse 43, whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So this was written so that we would learn. We would see how the Lord treats His people, how He is merciful, and that we would cry out to the Lord in our distress, and that we would recognize where the mercy comes from. It says there in the first one, verse 2, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. So as believers, we are the redeemed. We've been shown mercy. Let's proclaim that. Let's, as parents in our families, let's not be anxious about the future, but live a life and an example for our children, that they can be confident because we love the Lord, and they know that we love the Lord, and that we put our trust in Him, not in our possessions or our achievements, the things that that are so easy for us to put our confidence in, but that we put our trust in the Lord. That is one who is wise. It says there, 43, whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So it's just the passages to encourage you guys to make sure we have the right perspective in life. That we are not disheartened or anxious about the time that we're living in, but that we could be an example to those who don't have this confidence in the Lord that we have, that we should have. And we often do get distracted, but let's take time. I think it should be a daily discipline to spend time reflecting on who God is and what He's wanting to do in our lives and through us. And when we find ourselves in these places where we need the Lord, or we always need the Lord, but where we feel like we're wandering or we're caught in something, that we cry out to the Lord. That's great. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time this morning. We thank You for who You are. We thank You that we can have confidence in You and who You are. Thank You that You are ever faithful, Lord. Thank You that You are always wanting to save us when we cry out to You. Lord, help us to turn to You every day for our strength, knowing that You long to shelter us, to care for us. Lord, help us to be at peace, and may that peace be something that we can encourage others with, that we can proclaim Your love to others that we meet, that our lives as a church would affect those around us who are living in difficult times because they don't have You as their guide. Lord, let's pray that You go with us now as we leave here. Just thank You for each one who came today. In Jesus' name, amen.